If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
What's going on? Welcome to episode 115 of the Nintendo PowerCast. I'm your host, N64 Josh, player 2, Eric. What is going on, dude?
Yo, what up, Josh? And what is up, NPC Famine? No, it is your boy.
Yeah, he's muted, guys. He doesn't get to talk anymore. He doesn't realize it, but he was told, don't say famine, it's fam. So he doesn't even know he's muted. Maybe he can hear me. I don't know. Can you still hear me? No. He can still hear me. So he was warned. Don't say famine. He broke. All right. Well, player 3, Marcus from NerdBuzz. What's going on, dude?
Hey, man. Thanks for having me.
Dude.
Now we're both going to compete now for your new co-host. Is that what's going on? I guess
he might come back. Who knows? We don't know. Oh, look, there he is. I can't tell if he's looking at me or into my soul. If you guys are only listening, Eric just left the podcast. He is sitting back down now. I may eventually unmute him. We'll see. He's still talking because you're grounded right now. You're in timeout. You're in timeout. We got player 4, Wade from MuleHornGaming.com, an Analog Assault podcast. What's up, buddy?
What's up, bro? Thanks for having me on, man.
Yeah. So I go back with both these guys. Marcus and I actually graduated high school together. And yep. Wade and I, our very first podcast was him in a rock band microphone sitting on a cardboard box. It was classic. It was like, hey, let's get it done. Right.
So far. Right.
Yeah. We finally all have real microphones. So, okay. I'm going to go ahead and unmute Eric real quick. Okay. Yeah. All right. There it is. Eric, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Are you done with your bad language?
Bad language. At what point did I get muted? That's the question.
As soon as the word famine came out of your mouth. See, he had this idea that, hey, instead of fam, let's just say famine from now on. So I actually had our bot in Discord had to mute, or like it made it a word that gets banned. So anytime someone said famine, the message was immediately deleted. So we're trying to keep it from becoming a thing. That's what we're doing.
It'll be a thing. I think we just made it a thing.
It's already there now.
Yeah. I think we just made it a thing. Let me finish.
Okay.
It's your boy, Hate Zero, your hero. I got to give the people what they want.
That's true. All right. Well, hey, let's get into this thing. I got to do my ads real quick. If you guys want to get yourself a free book from Audible, you can go to audibletrial.com/NPC. There you can choose from some great books like Ready Player One, Armada, Game of Thrones, if you're into it. Blood, Sweat, and Pixels is really good. That's audibletrial.com/NPC. Guys, the chair I'm sitting in is from OP Seat. Amazing gaming chairs. Go to n64josh.com/OP Seat. That link will automatically save you $10 at checkout, and all of their chairs are $50 off right now for their summer sale. I don't know when it ends, so don't miss it. They're amazing chairs. That's n64josh.com/OP Seat. Now for the announcements.
Listen.
We do this show live, twitch.tv/N64Josh, Tuesday nights and Thursday nights, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And I want to say, hey, to everybody that's here. I see Benji, G.I. Jello, Pudding, Kirby Geek, Sega Sunset, Rust Belt Kid, Thaddeus Prime. Oh, there's a few more. Let me scroll a little bit here. Who am I missing? Let's see. Mr. Cool Red Luigi, Yikum, my alias Skyline. Anybody else that I miss? Guys, thank you for being here. There's a lot of you in here tonight, so thank you so much. I appreciate you guys. I am currently working on I'm writing a couple books right now. But the one that's going to be coming out next is the Beginner's Guide to Gaming Content Creation, because I've had so many people ask me about getting into podcasting, getting into streaming. So the focus of this first guide is going to be on podcasting, and it is coming very soon. And we have, it's pretty cool, but I've been gathering like tips and tricks and stuff from other creators. So this thing is going to be packed full of ideas and mistakes that people have made, all that kind of stuff, so that you don't have to make them. I'm really excited about this. It's called The Beginner's Guide to Gaming Content Creation. Podcast is the focus of the first one, so it's coming soon. Friday mornings, I have my first looks, where we look at new games that are coming to the Switch. This week, we got some games we're going to be looking at. I can't remember what they are, and I don't have them in front of me right now. A couple quick things to let you know about on my YouTube channel and on Saturday mornings. No more Saturday morning Splatoons unless it's Splatfest. I am currently playing through every game on the NES Classic. We set the high scores on 2, and I'm probably halfway through Castlevania right now, which I've never completed. So pretty fun. All of that is also available on YouTube, so you can check it out after the fact if you miss it. They're just going to be like hour-long Let's Plays of playing through the NES Classic. The other thing I'm doing is my wife and I are playing through Animal Crossing, and right now we are working on our old town from the GameCube, and the first episode of that is also available on YouTube. Last thing that you can check out on YouTube is Gamers and Carts Getting Interviewed. I believe there's 8 episodes available now, 7 or 8. So you can go check that out on my YouTube channel as well. And I do want to say thank you to everybody that subscribed. Finally hit 1,000 subscribers. Pretty exciting. YouTube emailed me and said, hey, you finally did it. It's only been 25 years, you know, so, but it happened, and it's because of you guys. So thank you so much. Let's get to our reviews and impressions.
Here we go.
All right. We're going to just kind of skim over this stuff, because we got our guests here tonight. We're going to be talking about PlayStation, Xbox, Nintendo, the current state of the industry. And plus, we got to hear from these guys, like where they're from, what they do, where you guys can check them out. So, but real quick, Eric, you been playing anything on Switch this last week?
Octopath, just exclusively Octopath.
It's still a blue shell.
Absolute blue shell. The game's fantastic. The music is top notch. The art everyone has seen is gorgeous. I love it. If you have a Switch, I think it being an exclusive means it's a absolute must own on the console.
I agree. Marcus, you've recently picked up a Switch. You've been playing Octopath also?
Yeah, I've definitely been dabbling in it. I think I've got I beat the demo, and so I've just now started continuing that on the actual cartridge, and I was super, super stoked to see it. I, in a way, I kind of think it was what I was wanting out of the Switch, right? It's not a Mario or a Zelda, which are all awesome, but it's this other exclusive that you can only play on there, and I'm really excited for what it could lead into. It's really cool. Super good. Very SNES kind of classic feel to it, which is really awesome.
Oh yeah. I know Wade unfortunately doesn't have a Switch yet, but
oh man, one day. I'm working on it, man.
You're working on it.
I got the PC, I got the PlayStation, got the Xbox. That's the next on the list.
You gotta save the best for last, baby. That's all. You know, I know. That's and the console war continues.
Oh man.
So guys, here's the deal. I did a lot of thinking about this over vacation, because there's been a lot of talk about reviews and things like that. So I'm actually gonna do 2 different style of reviews. On the podcast, you guys are gonna get my power review, which is going to be the power glove thing, right? 5 power glove means the game is a must buy. That doesn't mean it's a perfect game. No, it means it's just a must buy, kind of like Eric's blue shell thing. So that's how we're going to do it. I'm going to say Octopath is 5 power gloves. You've got to pick that thing up. It is a must own if you are a Switch owner and you have any interest in JRPGs,
like, go pick this game up. It is amazing. And play the free demo. Like Marcus did, play the, you got 3 hours. You can just dig into this game and then continue your save right there. Totally worth checking out.
Super cool.
I finally started Paladins, and also 5 out of 5 Power Gloves. That game is, it's free to play now. So go pick it up on your Switch. I'm an Overwatch fan, all about Tracer, but I was like, I don't know about this Paladins. I started playing. Oh my gosh. Cannot believe how much I like it. Wait, I know you've played Paladins. What do you think of it?
Dude, Paladins is super fun and adds a little more depth than like an Overwatch. Especially with the card system they have there. And it feels great on PC and on Xbox or wherever else you play it. It's just a solid build game. It's really smooth. Graphically, it's nice and easy on the eyes. And it's fun. That's the big thing. It's fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I do want to point out in chat, Medic's asking, he said, I can't find the demo for Octopath. I believe you just have to type in the search for Octopath and make sure you, I think there's a button that you can click that shows games with demos or something like that. But I think you'll be able to, find it there. So, with that, we're just going to kind of breeze over the news real quick. We'll get into it more. And I have all these articles up on N64 Josh, if you guys want to go a little deeper, but let's get to the news. Okay, so real quick, Nintendo's quarter one 2018 earnings have been revealed, and the Switch right now is going a little slower in hardware sales than it did last year, but software sales, oh my word, it is out of control. 3DS stuff is down, but it's still selling really well. Like, it was close to 300 million units of software sales for the 3DS, and like 360,000 hardware units sold. So still going strong. All of the details, guys, are going to be in the show notes. You can check it out. I have it broke down. Like, you can see everything for which games are selling the best, how they did in quarter one, that kind of stuff. Few games worth noting: Mario Tennis Aces, 1.38 million copies already sold, and Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze, 1.4 million copies already sold. Like, that's way more than it sold on the Wii U. It's crazy. These ports are just they're killing it on the Switch. So it's good to see. If you are a Splatoon fan, we've got new levels and 4 new weapons that are out now. So you can check that out just by jumping in the game. It should auto update. You'll be good to go. And Mario Tennis Aces is getting an update that goes live in Japan August 1st. Should be live everywhere, I assume. We haven't seen patch notes yet for the US. As of recording this, I haven't seen them anyway. I did go through and translate the Japanese ones so you can read through the entire list of patch notes. It's extensive. A lot of characters some characters are getting nerfed. Some characters are getting buffed. If you were annoyed by tapping double X twice to do it, not meaning to do your trick shot, you can now turn that setting off. So, really good. Chat is asking if I speak Japanese. No, I just copied and pasted into Google Translate. that's it. So, okay, there we go. That's kind of your Nintendo news, guys. Again, you can check out n64josh.com, or the show notes have all the links in it. Let's get to our talking point. All right. Well, before we jump too far into this, Marcus, give us the lowdown about NerdBuzzed. You're a nerdy podcast, somewhat PlayStation focused, which is why you're kind of here representing PlayStation for this.
God, I tried to turn it off. Sorry, that's my phone. I swear, I hit silent.
I believe you.
it won't stop.
It's cool. It's cool. You're popular, man. I understand.
I guess so.
Yeah. So tell us about NerdBuzzed. Tell us where people can find it. All that stuff.
So you can find us at nerdbuzz.com, where you can watch or listen to any show you want there, totally free. And anything, all social media is all also NerdBuzzed. And please banter with us on there. We have a lot of fun about any nerdy thing. It's loads of fun to just get down and nerdy with whoever. It's awesome. And we always drink a beer on our show. So, you know, in the NerdBuzz tradition, I'm not going to have to pop a beer open and keep the ball rolling on that, right? So we get, you know, by the end, we get pretty buzzed. We have a lot of fun. We just kind of goof around. Definitely PlayStation is the system I play the most, but I did just get a Switch, so I'm starting to dabble in that a little more. I'm supposed to lend that to my co-host, but I can't let go of it yet.
Right.
So he's a little mad at me, and he really is chomping at the bit to try it. So
I bet
we'll see.
I bet. So why the PlayStation? What's the draw? Like, is there some history there?
Really, for me, it's the one I started out with. When I was a kid, it was like really taboo to have a video game system in the house. And when I got my first job, I basically went out. I went to the pawn shop, bought a first PlayStation and a TV, and just set it up in my room and started playing. It was like, I've never seen my mom be like so proud of me and so irritated at the same time. It was pretty awesome. And so then since then, I just kind of stuck with the PlayStation.
Okay, cool. Wade.
Yes.
Talk to me, baby. Tell me about your content.
Man. All right. So you can find pretty much everything at mulehorngaming.com. We've been doing a podcast for like 4 years, and we finally actually gave it a name just this past year, Analog Assault. We were just calling it the Mulehorn Gaming Podcast, but we cover everything, man. You play it, we've played it. Like, then, you know, you Nintendo Switch, we got guys that have that on the cast, PS4, Xbox One, you know, PC. We play it all, man. And we just talk about everything nerdy, geeky, game related. We'll talk Marvel comics, movies, you name it, man. We're kind of in the nerd culture. So, but yeah, you can find us there. You can find us on Twitter at Mulehorn Gaming. We like to send lots of GIFs. Yes, I called it a GIF.
Why did you do that? That's it. Where's my mute button at? That's it.
With that, yeah, right.
Famine.
Yeah.
And GIF. So, I can't believe it.
GIF. There we go.
But I think we might have to get together, man, and do some podcasting together since we're both so just whatever nerdy.
Yeah, exactly, awesome. Man.
It'll be the longest podcast ever because we'll just go on. Nerdy
stuff for sure. I could talk forever, man, especially like in Star Wars. Like, and we've recently just started streaming our content. Like our we call it Star Wars Sunday. And we also do our podcast Thursday night. So, but we're over on the other place.
What's the other place? You can tell us. No, but don't be scared.
Oh, okay. Mixer.com/ Mulehorn Gaming.
Yeah.
What is that? I've never heard of that.
Do we want to get into this right now?
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
What are we debating today?
We're okay.
which not Mulehorn Gaming. Mule.
I do like to eat gaming. Though.
Yeah.
So Mulehorn. I will eat. Yeah.
So Wade, you and I go back. We played Destiny. We've done crossover podcasts together. Like, but I've known you as basically an Xbox guy, right?
Oh yeah.
And so
for sure, that's like my main.
Yeah. And so that's why the real reason these guys are here is I just wanted to get them on the podcast, and I'm like, they're not that into Nintendo. So how can we do this? So the console wars are bringing us together. That's what's happening.
I'd be into it if I had a Switch, man. So if you got anybody that's got some extra dough out there, like, help a brother out. I got four kids to feed here.
We'll get a GoFundMe going. So
yeah, you GoFundMe right here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, but no, I'm really stoked. Both of you guys are here. We're going to talk about the gaming industry, and we're going to actually, or Eric wanted us to talk about E3 and kind of what you guys thought. So, Eric, I'm going to let you kick it off with your thoughts on E3. And then maybe we'll go over to Marcus to talk about the PlayStation a little bit. And we'll just kind of roundtable this thing, and I'll keep the conversation going. So just feel free to jump in or whatever, you know, but we'll have some fun.
Yeah. For sure. So E3 for me, being primarily Nintendo, was surprising because I'm not a Smash fan. So I thought Microsoft had the best show. They showed a ton of games, a lot of great content. There wasn't a ton of fluff. I thought Nintendo did a pretty solid job in the first half, and then it just turned into what I thought was a waste of space. If you're a Smash fan, it was great, but I thought that could have been in a treehouse after the fact. I thought it was too long for a E3 presentation. And then PlayStation, I think what their strategy was is we're already the best. We just have to show up. We can make people move around and they'll just do it. And so that's what they did. I was very underwhelmed. And and I'm a huge, the Last of Us is probably my favorite game of all time. And I was still disappointed with the showing, even though I got what I wanted out of The Last of Us 2 being shown. So
yeah, I'm super nervous about Last of Us 2. Like,
yeah,
I mean, to do it again, I don't know. Like, for me, the PlayStation 2, that definitive game was God of War, right? And then now the PlayStation 3, that definitive game was Last of Us. Like, they went out on the highest note they possibly could have.
Yeah.
And then now I'm always scared whenever they go to do the sequel. Like, just will it live up?
Yeah, but it's Naughty Dog. I mean, it's not like anyone else in the world is doing it. It's Naughty Dog. Have they done a poor sequel in your mind yet?
No, not so much. I just hold that one so high, right?
Yeah. It's for sure.
I don't want to go in hoping for something that, you know, I'm aiming for unicorns here, and we'll see.
You won't have to worry about seeing it until PlayStation 5 comes out. So we'll get that out of the way.
I wonder that too. Yeah.
And it won't be a launch title.
that was actually something I took away from this E3, is it really made me wonder how much of what we were seeing is that next system. Like, for all, really, I guess aside from Nintendo, but with Xbox and PlayStation stuff they were announcing, like, how much of that stuff is actually going to be next generation?
And especially with Sony, right? I mean, they will show us stuff that's like, I mean, how long have we been seeing the Death Stranding, right? Yeah. That little baby in the throat, like, can you stop? I just stopped having nightmares. Do we have to keep going?
That game scares me too, man. I got a lot of high hopes for that game, but I'm nervous.
Right.
I think Kojima maybe needed Konami to like reel him in a little bit. We'll see.
Something, man. Well,
yeah. I'm a huge Kojima fan. The Metal Gear series is probably my tops. I should just consider myself a PlayStation guy. I just don't like any modern PlayStation stuff, to be honest. I didn't play God of War, though. I didn't play it yet. So. Oh,
you got to play that, man. That's
my game of the year
so far.
That's like, what really everyone tells me.
It's fantastic.
That's what everyone tells me. But I kind of trust what Kojima does, and I know it's going to be a fantastic product. It's definitely going to mess with your mind. I have no idea, what is that game even about? Do we even know? I've watched like 6 hours of videos of that game. I have no idea what it's about, other than it's got the dude from The Walking Dead, Norman Reedus.
It's like, got a bunch of his friends in it. It almost seems like him and his friends sat around and were like, it'd be cool to just make a game. Yeah, we can all be in it. It'll be fun. And they brainstormed and came up with this crazy thing.
Let's carry babies around on the outside of us.
Yeah, this is it, man. It looks freaking weird.
It was supposed to be PT. It was going to be Silent Hill. So that failed. So they're like, oh, we'll just keep the idea rolling with the same people. We have all this motion cap. We'll just throw a baby in there.
Yeah, right? Kojima's got ideas, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's got tons of them. I don't know. We'll see. Yeah. I'm a little nervous about it, but I'm excited.
Yeah, understandable.
Wade, what did you think of the PlayStation E3?
So man, when I was watching E3 and I saw the PlayStation stream and I saw Jethro Tull get up there, I was just kind of like, what the heck is going on with the little flute thing, man? I was like, what is this? And I was excited, you know, because I finally have a PlayStation, you know? Yeah. And like, yeah, I got to play God of War and things like that. But like, I was like, show me the cool stuff. And right now, the only thing, like, I'm just going to admit it, and I know a lot of people are going to hate that I say this, but I wasn't a Last of Us fan. Ooh. And I couldn't get into it. I couldn't get into it, man. I just couldn't get it.
Hold on. Can we pause on this? This is going to be a long show. I've just declared this show's 2 hours. How did you not get into it? Did you turn it off before you hit start?
No, I don't like zombie games, and it felt like a zombie game.
It's the greatest love story of all time.
It felt way too slow for me. Like, for me, I'm very much a, like, Mulehorn Jenkins, basically. Like, Leroy Jenkins it. I want to go in and blow stuff up and shoot stuff. And it was just a little too slow for me. The story was kind of interesting, but there's other games that caught my attention, and I couldn't bring myself to go back and play it. So
did you play it all the way through?
No, I played like 45 minutes of it and I just wasn't feeling it. And I was
Man, that's not even a demo.
No, I know, but I just usually within the first hour, you can get a feel for a game. And I was just like, you know,
the first 10 minutes, though, with Sarah, that didn't do anything for you. You're not just really. Like emotionless. You're like, I don't care about you.
Well, it's because it's that whole zombie thing, right? You know, okay. I'm just not a fan of zombies. I'm sorry, guys. So
that is the only game that made me legitimately cry. And it's not during the Sarah part.
Yeah,
I'm confident enough I can say it. It's in a part later in the game after Joel and Ellie like grow their relationship and they're meeting with Joel's brother. I won't give away for people who haven't played it.
Me,
yeah. It's the one game Marcus I will not ruin. I just won't ruin it for people. It's yeah. Yeah. See, when no, you play no through spoilers. That game and get to the and just see the whole everything that the whole story. Like it's a game that you will love to hate what happens in that game. It's so good. It really, really is. I was super invested in it and I can't wait for the next one.
Yeah.
So I just want to apologize right now to all your listeners. I'm sorry. Yeah. That's who's this Mulehorn guy?
At Mulehorn Gaming on Twitter.
Yeah. I mean, it's a Nintendo show. Most of them probably didn't even listen or play it. So you're all right. Yeah. You're all right.
Shame on all of you. But, you
know, PlayStation, man, I really do feel like it was kind of like you were saying. They showed up, you know, and I did feel like that Microsoft did pretty good. They did a pretty good job. And I don't have to say like going away, probably the two things I'm most excited about is Smash and Anthem. Like Anthem looks like it might be my next thing. Like Destiny 1 was my thing and Anthem looks like it could, you know, and Mass Effect was my thing. This looks like it could be my thing, you know, like I could play this for a really long time. So
for sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that too. Yeah. My biggest concern is, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't EA involved in Anthem?
Yes.
That's my biggest concern. I'm kind of concerned with anything that they sort of stamp their approval on, to be honest with you. Them and Ubisoft. No offense to anybody that loves their games.
I will say, though, there's a Reddit Discord that I'm in with a lot of the devs there. And just what EA's been saying has made me really hopeful about the game, especially with the no loot box stuff and... you know, most stuff's cosmetic that if you want to purchase it, you can grind for it or purchase it. So I do have some hope. And I feel like EA's kind of turned their leaf over after the whole fiasco with Star Wars Battlefront 2. So we'll see, man. I mean, when people didn't buy Star Wars Battlefront 2, I mean, it hurts their bottom line. Then they'll listen to what people say, you know.
So here's really too bad because that's one of the prettiest games I've seen. The sound is amazing.
I love it.
It's a shame that politics got in the way of a great game.
Here's the thing. None of that hurt the sales of that game. It still was like
went gold, right?
It was like the fourth Wars, most dude. Selling, like most sold game in December or something like that. So like, so I mean, sure. From what I've heard too, from people that have like, that went to E3 by EA EA brought these people. They're like, these aren't, like everybody just views him as the villain and like, sure, maybe they had some missteps and trying to figure out how to, you know, monetize or squeeze the, you know, every penny out of their game. But then they've come back. I mean, look at Battlefield now, right? Yeah. What'd they say? Like no loot boxes, right? Isn't that so, I mean, you can tell they're trying, right?
Well, and it's the same studio. Yeah, it's the same studio that brought us Mass Effect, not Mass Effect Andromeda. That's a different studio.
Right.
So don't get too anxious about that. But and Casey Hudson's back. And Casey Hudson, for BioWare fans, know he's like a legend. You know, it's a great dude, really knows his stuff, makes a great RPG. And he's heading the whole thing up. So I have a lot of confidence in it right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, overall, I'm kind of, I think we're all somewhat in agreement. Like the one thing I was glad about is PlayStation didn't come out and say, hey, help us kickstart a game like they did a couple years ago. Right. Like that was really bizarre with Shenmue or whatever. Like what?
As far as the games that they announced, I was actually pretty stoked for the new Sucker Punch game, the Ghost of Tsushima or Tsushima or whatever it's called.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That looks pretty awesome.
Dude, that looks insane. And I am such a big Infamous fan. that with the previous systems, and then the newest one, the Second Son, was a launch title, and it's so much that it's just, it never was able to do justice to Sucker Punch. And wow, when you watch that trailer, man, like, it looks like it's cutscene. I heard that that's just a side story in it. That's not even like a main objective thing that you do in the game, and it just gets crazier. The game is like beyond pretty.
I will say, when you're bringing up, like, you just said pretty, it made me think of Cyberpunk as well. Like, when I saw that, I was a little like, huh, what is this? I want to see more. It looked pretty cool.
Well, and CD Projekt Red, they're basically like Naughty Dog, right? Like, they just don't crank out a turd.
So what I'm curious, like, Eric and I have talked at extent about the Nintendo E3, like, it was like game smash for like a half hour, right? And what, like, Marcus, what did you think? Did you even pay attention? Did you even watch it?
Man, everybody's gonna hate me in your Discord, I can just tell, right?
No, okay, there's no hate.
First off, I want to say my Switch is awesome. I really really have a lot of fun with it, and I love Nintendo. I really do. They're like, I'm like old school diehard Nintendo games, but I am. Yeah, there's a big but here. I'm a little irritated with when I go to look at games for my Switch, and everything is like ultimate this or like the super version of that. And it's like, it's everything they had in all the other games. It's like a remaster, basically, is what we're getting out of a lot of this stuff. And I've already played it, right? Like, I have old systems. I can play those games. I don't want the old stuff. So when I saw Smash and they're like, Smash Ultimate, as soon as they said that, I was like, oh no, it's going to be all the characters from the old ones, all the levels from the old ones. And then I was immediately a little bit let down, to be honest with you. I'm not the biggest Smash fan anyway, but that's why I'm such a big advocate for Octopath. It's like, it's new, right? Yeah. They did something outside the normal box that they love to stay confined in so much. And I was beyond impressed with it. So Smash, I could take it or leave it, to be honest with you.
Can I give my first world reason I like the Switch and have stopped playing pretty much anything else? It's my time to gaming. If you turn on your Switch from suspend state, you're playing a game in under 10 seconds. Like, time it.
Yeah.
If you do that with an Xbox or PS4, you're looking at like a minute and a half if you're lucky.
That's an over-exaggeration.
A minute and a half is...
There's been updates. There have been other spin updates.
Well, that's the other problem. My stuff's all out of date. Actually, my Xbox isn't. I've played my Xbox not too long ago. But the time to gaming is much longer than the Switch. So if I'm only going to game for a little bit of time, it's so much more efficient to pick up the Switch, hit the power button, and you're playing a game in under 10 seconds. It's legitimately under 10 seconds.
Yeah, for sure.
So I got a question for you guys.
Okay.
I want to ask, because I'm dying to hear what your thoughts are on this. So what do you guys think about that online service they're bringing in? What is it, September to the Switch? What do y'all think about that? Is it similar? You think it's going to be something similar to like the Game Pass?
I think it's like Xbox Live, right? Xbox Live, PlayStation Network, whatever you get free games, right? Nintendo says that when you sign up for your first year, you get 20 games right off the bat. And their verbiage is strange. They're not being very clear. They're not saying it says with more games to come. So obviously they don't have the license to give out every NES game. They are adding online to some of these old NES games, which I think is great. My fingers are crossed that we're going to get to the Super Nintendo games and the 64 games and, get to play Mario Kart 64 online. That's the kind of stuff that I'm like, yes, let's get there.
Wind Waker. I want Wind Waker, man.
Yeah, well, that's going to end up being one of the ports, though. And it'll be good, though.
I'm okay with that. Like, it's like this double-edged sword, because you do get all these, the best version of all these old games, but at the same time, you get all these old games, right? Yeah. So it's like, I totally see the appeal in it, and I am really amped and looking forward to some of them, but at the same time, I don't think I need all of them, and I want new material also.
Yeah. You want new IPs.
Yeah.
I just do. Yeah.
And you could check out, I mean, I don't know if they're your style, but you could check out Splatoon and you could check out ARMS, both brand new IPs from Nintendo. Splatoon was on the Wii U, Splatoon 2 made it over to the Switch, and ARMS is brand new to the, and it's a springy armed fighting game is what it boils down to. So yeah, it's, you know, different, but I mean, I know that you're, you know, I know the kind of games that you're into, and I know like Xenoblade is going to totally be up your alley once you get a hold of that, like,
yeah, well, and that, I mean, that's a JRPG, right? I'm a sucker for those.
Right.
And yeah, I would love to play it. And that's where, like, I have a Vita, right? And Vita basically did what the Switch is doing now, but it just never did it the way that Sony had hoped it could. Like, it's the same thing. When you turn it off, you hit the power button, it's boom, right where you left it. Like, you can do all those things you can do with the Switch. You can play your PlayStation, like Persona 5. I played a quarter of my 160 hours in that game on my Vita, like in bed, like I do with my Nintendo Switch, the same exact, like running it to that screen. But I think overall that handheld, you can't beat the Switch. Like, for that handheld quality, man, it's just, it's where it's at. Their own
portability.
Yeah.
Portability is a huge thing.
For sure.
Yeah.
Here's the thing that I'm, another hope with the online thing is they've got to do something about cheating. Unfortunately, the Switch was hacked and cheating is getting crazy. I do Mario Kart Mondays and there was literally a guy that had unlimited red shells in Mario Kart. Like, he would just stop and throw like 20 shells at everybody in front and we would all get taken out. And then it's getting bad. I mean, it was bad up to the point that somebody hacked into Splatoon and said, Nintendo create anti-cheat or something along those lines. I mean, this takes me back to the Halo 1, like the Halo 2 days when the Xbox was so bad. And so I'm hoping the online brings some of the, some fixes for cheating. But, Wade, what did you think of the Nintendo Direct when you saw it?
You know, man, I'm actually pretty excited. I think that, I mean, it's well known that Nintendo is the most recognized brand of video game there is out there, or console. I mean, it doesn't matter who you run across. It could be your 80-year-old grandma and you could say, hey, I play a video game. And they'd go, oh, do you play on the Nintendo? It's like, yeah, you know,
Or they call video games Nintendo, right? They're just like, oh, you're going to go play Nintendo. It's a PlayStation.
It's just it, you know? And I mean, God, you even look at some of their 3DS sales and it's crazy how much they still sell. And so for me, like, not being a Switch owner yet and seeing all these things that are coming to the Switch makes me excited for when I finally get to pull the trigger and get it. Cause I know my kids keep asking me, they keep like, can I get the Switch? And me and my wife are always like, dude, we really need a Switch, like Mario Kart. Like, I mean, so for me, I'm excited. There's not any really downsides for me cause I don't have it yet and I want it. So
I think another plus for you is that you have an Xbox, right?
Yeah.
So if you want to do that, like high-end graphic, like have the online, be able to watch all your Netflix and who, like, deal with all and have the awesome easy chat set up, like all those things that we just like associate with video games that they should just come with out of the box. You have that already. So when you get a Switch, you don't really care that you don't get any of that stuff. That's where I'm at with it, right? It's like, I don't care about games that I can play on my PlayStation that are getting ported to Switch. I'm never going to play that on there. I have a PlayStation. I'd rather it looks prettier and it runs better there. But I can't play these awesome other games, like hopefully more Octopaths and whatever else that they can, maybe if I get Wind Waker or whatever else, but those games are going to be so awesome to play handheld that I don't care about all that online stuff. So I think you're in an ideal spot, man. I think you might really enjoy it.
The online stuff, I may be jumping ahead here, Josh. So this,
no, you're fine. You're good. No, you're good.
So
I just want this to flow and it's flowing. So
I have a really good theory here, of why Switch is going with the online services. And I think, especially with the relationship we're seeing with Xbox, that they have some kind of deal working here because they already use Xbox servers for some of their online services. So I really think that Xbox and Switch are somehow going to partner up. We've already seen some crossplay stuff that they're doing with like Fortnite and things like that. I think they're eventually going to partner up and we're going to see some stuff with Game Pass. We're going to see some stuff with online services, with crossplay, Because if why not? Why can't I play like Fortnite with my friends on PS4? Why not? And I think with the relationship that Nintendo has now with Xbox and them already using some of their Microsoft servers, it would just make sense if they're already building that partnership to really build off of that and give something to that all the gamers want out there. And you know, Phil Spencer has been saying for a long time, he's not after sales, blah, blah, blah. I mean, you do need sales. And I think that'll help drive sales of both the Switch and the console, the Xbox console. So it's going to be interesting, man, because I really do think they got something up their sleeve for that stuff.
The thing that I wonder about, like, and we can kind of talk about this crossplay stuff. It's one of our topics right now. Sony is in the lead, right? I mean, they have, I think they just announced they're over 80 million units sold, right? Which is, I mean, that's phenomenal. Like, insane, that's, yeah, that's great. For a while there, Xbox was keeping up with their 360 sales, and I think they've obviously not kept up, because the 360 was a phenomenal machine. And then you've got the Switch that's the record, like, selling the most consoles the fastest, which is crazy. And you
don't
see,
you think don't you think that'll die off though? Like, you have all the diehard people that just, it's again, it's that like Star Wars effect, right? Where it's like, Nintendo, I gotta have it. So you have this big rush of all those diehard fans that get it. And then I don't know. I'm curious to see how long that'll last with Nintendo. It's awesome.
I think it can last because it's the perfect complementary system to a PC gamer, to a PlayStation gamer, yeah, or an Xbox gamer.
That's the biggest, I guess that's what I mean, though, is that, like, it, yeah, is a complementary system, right? Like, you have, mm-hmm, to. And I think as somebody that has those other systems, you can appreciate all these things about it. But I think if you go into it and you spend $300 on a Switch and you're expecting to get the things that an Xbox or a PlayStation offers, you might be a little let down because it just doesn't provide those.
Yeah.
No, well, it does fall short. I think
it's going to last because if you look at the global sales right now, out of 10 of the top 10 games, 5 of them are from Nintendo. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that should tell you something.
Yeah. Oh, they have a beyond loyal fan base too, for sure. Yeah. Right? Well, like, and there's super supporters.
Here's what, and I think I put it in my article this morning when I talked about the earnings, but they have this thing that they do. Let me see. Hang on one second here. I'm holding at the 2DS Zelda version right now. Do I need this? Yes, because Zelda's on it, right?
Yeah, because you're a Nintendo fan, yeah,
right? Wait, do I need this one too? No, I don't need the Hylian Shield. But happy Father's Day! Now I have, you know, my fourth 3DS, 2DS, and that's going to be one of the things that's going to happen with the Switch. Is Nintendo hasn't released any new colored Joy-Cons in a while, and they haven't really done anything with exclusive like hardware bundles, other than Odyssey had a special box and bright red or like blood red Joy-Cons, right? That was it. If Smash has its own bundle that's like, you know, an exclusive, you know, limited edition Smash Switch with like orange, like an orange and a black Joy-Con, right? People, that's if the only place you can get it, they're going to like, it's going to sell. It's going to sell to people that already have a Switch because, man, I want that, right? Pokemon's coming out. If they release a hardware bundle that has a red and white Joy-Con, it's going to sit like, it looks like a Pokeball. People are going to be all over it. Like, yeah, that will keep that momentum going, I believe. And a big part of it is the economy too, right? The economy is great right now. Like, there's a lot of factors in all of this. Like, I mean, if you think back like 10 years from now, we weren't even seeing new consoles because they were like, they're not going to sell. The Xbox One and the PlayStation 4 were 2 years old from the time they should have been out and were underpowered systems because the economy was so bad. And now we're already talking about, like, in a much less time frame, we're already hearing rumors of a new Xbox, a new PS4, that kind of stuff. And I think that has to do with just the fact that people are opening their wallets and they're buying this hardware.
Do you, so it was like, as far as the Switch coming out and like what you're talking about, like Smash is going to drive more sales, right? Like Zelda drove, they had to release Zelda with it. Like that's why Zelda got pushed ahead to drive sales. Cause again, there's Zelda nutso fans. I'm one of them. It's the first game I got with mine. Right.
Right.
Mario is the same way. Now Smash comes out. This is all happening within the first 2 years. Are you concerned at all that all of the heavy hitters are coming out right away? Like, does that concern you? Are they going to run out of steam?
I don't think so, because you have series like Animal Crossing. You have the potential for a 2D Zelda to come out of some kind. You have some other franchises that aren't as big, but still have a decent following, like Pikmin, and we know Metroid's coming. You know, we could eventually see a good Star Fox game. I don't know. Plus the potential for Splatoon 3, and Splatoon is selling gangbusters. Mario Kart has sold, I think it's the second highest selling game on the Switch, and it's like it's over 10 million units. And so yeah. All they got to do is say Mario Kart 9, boom, there's another round of sales. But they're also saying that they want to treat games as a service, and they keep updating Mario Kart now, which we kind of thought it was like a ghost town. And now we're seeing Labo integration. We're seeing they added the Master Cycle Zero. And so are we going to see DLC? Like I don't know. So I can see what you're saying. Like, yeah, did they come out of the, they had to come out like that with Zelda and Mario. Yeah. Right. And they, I mean, totally Zelda was delayed. Like, I think like 2 years, it was supposed to be a Wii U title. And then it got delayed. I believe it was 2 years from the first time we saw it. And it was the best move they could make. They had a higher install. They had more Zeldas in the wild for like in people's hands than they had Switches when it first launched. Yeah, like for sure. People were just,
and I think that speaks to that loyal fan base. Yeah. It just does. Like, you've got these people that want to relive these glory days of when they're playing these games. And I just don't want them to run out of steam on that. And I also don't want the Switch to have a million Zelda versions released on it either, or a million Mario versions, right? Again, I come back to that Octopath Traveler. Like, I want more news about that kind of thing. I need a little bit more of that.
Well, I think the big thing too is they came out strong because they knew they weren't going to have third party support in the first year. So they did load up heavy on great Nintendo titles, a lot of imports, whatever. I think you're starting to see a shift where Nintendo is getting the third party support moving forward, and we're going to continue to see more Octopaths, more Wolfensteins, more you name it, coming to the Switch in the coming years. So it's not a Wii U again. I think it's pretty clear that's not going to be the case at this point.
No, and yeah. Marcus, I highly recommend, you mentioned Ubisoft early on. You need to at the very least even come borrow my copy of Mario plus Rabbids. Mm-hmm. Like, it is one of the most
good things,
the most unique and just cool experiences on the Switch. And if you watch some of the behind the scenes stuff, like I don't know if he was like the director or what, I can't remember, but he did an interview with Brian Altano on IGN, and like the guy's in tears. He was so emotional about the fact that he was able to work on a Mario game. Like here he is working with the character that inspired him to get into creating games, and like just kind of seeing some of that and the passion that is behind that, like, it comes through in that game. You can tell that game was made with the utmost care. And so I do believe there is kind of like a like just a wind of change going through, and like these companies are showing that they are still able to create killer pieces of art and entertainment that aren't just about squeezing every penny out of the consumer.
Yeah. I definitely feel like we're in that weird zone right now.
Yeah.
Like that's like, we're going to tap out on like how pretty it can look and like all the features it can have or whatever, but without that passion behind the game. And like you said, like creating art, you're going to lose something in gaming industry. It's not going to be about that anymore. And I think we're like starting to teeter on that. Right. And those games are going to be the ones that will really last and shine. And I'm looking forward to those. I think we're going to start getting more of those, especially with the end of these generations where our systems are starting to get tapped out, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to come down to, it can only look so pretty now. So now the substance needs to be there.
Just buy a PC. That's why I got one.
Yeah.
But then there's no Last of Us. There's no God of War. There is still some Xbox stuff, right? But wait, I'm going to throw this question at you. Like, we are definitely seeing a shift towards an all digital future, right? I mean, Xbox took that first step and said, here's the Netflix style service. Here's all of our games, even when they launch day one, when Sea of Thieves dropped. What do you think about that? I mean, I'm a collector of physical goods, right? Like, I love my old Nintendo games. I love seeing the Switch games, but even the Switch games, they only come with like, oh, hey, I got the Resident Evil collection. Oh, one of those games is digital. Oh, I got Bayonetta collection. One of those games is digital. It's just a code. What do you think? Like, what are your thoughts about this? Are you more towards digital? Are you cool with this? Are you like, hey, I'm already MP3 and all my movies are digital, so why not my games too? Like, where are you at?
You know, I am embracing it now. I very much like to collect things, but I've just come to grips with just embracing it. And plus, it makes it really easier on a gamer when you have things like GameShare with Xbox, and there's a way you can do it in PS4 as well. That just helps out so much, man. What I'm hoping that we don't see lost is that, like, can I get a special collector's edition where, yeah, I get the digital code, but I get some type of hardware. Like, give me like a statue of Mario Rabbids or, you know, a statue of Zelda.
That's what they're getting in Japan for. I believe it was the Pokemon games and Smash. They are getting a case that just has the digital code inside, so they can still put that case up on the, and I mean, look, it's convenient, right? I'll admit that.
Yeah, like, that's the thing.
I just went on vacation. It's like, well, I can take a handful of my games. I can't take all of them.
I think that's the biggest thing and the biggest sell for me of why I'm okay with digital stuff now, because dude, that Game Pass is freaking phenomenal. Like, you pay $10 a month and you get how many games? Like 200 plus games.
It's like a huge value.
I can play them at any time. I was playing KOTOR one day, and then I was playing Sea of Thieves another day, Halo 5 the next day, right? You know, so it's like, for me, that's why I think that Nintendo is going to slowly get into that, especially with their online service. And that's why I think that they're probably going to do something with Xbox. I know there's probably a lot of people listening right now that say, don't do that. And I think the biggest hurdle they would have with that, if the Switch embraces that, is the portability. Like, you don't want to be tethered to Wi-Fi wherever you go, you know, just so you can get in and get a game and play it, because you have to have online service. But for Xbox, it's fantastic, man. I mean, I've embraced it. I mean, I do miss having my little collectibles here and there, but you know, it's turned into a digital life, man. Like, as a gamer, it's all digital now, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's coming. And you know, you were talking about like, just the Nintendo and Microsoft working together. Like, the thing that probably worries me the most is I know Nintendo's history with working with other companies, and out of the blue, they can just turn their backs on them. And all of a sudden,
PlayStation,
like Sony.
Yeah.
No wonder they're jaded.
Exactly. And so, but you know, you look at a guy like Phil Spencer, the head of Microsoft or head of Xbox, and that guy's a gamer. That guy talks about playing his PlayStation. I believe he's talked about playing some of the games on his Switch and things like that. Like,
they stream PS4 games. Like, I don't see very many other execs doing that stuff. When they're like the head of Xbox streaming PS4 games or Switch game, I don't see that.
Yeah. You know? Well, in the commercial for Minecraft that showed a Switch controller and an Xbox controller, I was like, what? This is crazy. Marcus, what do you think about the digital thing and seeing these companies work together and stuff?
So I think we should make a distinction between digital and streaming services, right? Like, if we're talking about digital, I think the handheld is the perfect scenario for it. I have probably 50 games for my Vita, and only 4 of those are actually a cartridge, right? Like, they're all, the rest are ones downloaded that I've gotten through my PS Plus or I've purchased or whatever. And the handheld, perfect platform for that. Again, you don't want to cart around all these cartridges. A streaming service, I'm way more leery about that. I don't want to have to have an internet connection to be able to play my game, right? Like, and I think that could be a handheld issue too, especially with the Switch, because it doesn't have
Like, you can't get like a, you know, like a 3G service or whatever, or 4G, or it doesn't connect anywhere. You have to be somewhere with a Wi-Fi hotspot. And yeah, those are way more readily available. But if I have to have that to play my game, I'm way more leery about that. And all said and done, I would much rather touch, be able to touch that disc and open the case for it. And there's nothing like opening a case and smelling the toxic chemicals for the first time, right? Like, that's one of my favorite things to do with a new
in the car, nonetheless, right? In the car, like on the ride.
The other
home.
Thing, the other thing I think that doesn't sell me on digital is that right away on a game, I can go buy, like on Amazon or something, I can buy a tangible copy for typically at least $15 cheaper. Where if I go to buy the digital one, they still want full price.
Right.
Like, there's got to be less money to make that. That's just a copy that I'm getting from a source file somewhere.
Well, the problem is the retail, right? If they undercut retail, then retail pulls their stuff out. Right. So
but retail is selling it for cheaper.
I know. Well, that's even going away though, right? We're seeing Best Buy pull their Gamer Club Unlock going away, right? It's you don't get that discount anymore if you can't sign up for it any longer. Amazon's already cut back. Like, they don't do remake games. So pretty much every Switch game's no longer $20 off. I'm kidding. Yeah. I'm kidding. Or 20% off. But when you're talking about stream, like the Xbox, the Game Pass, it is, you download the game and you can play it. I don't know how long you have to, like when you have to check in. I don't have the Game Pass.
Can you just like keep it on your system and not pay your bill?
I think it's once a month.
Yeah, if it rolls out of rotation, you can still have it if you have it downloaded.
And still play it? Like, even if you aren't paying your bill, you can still keep it and play it?
The system knows when your account expires.
Yeah,
that's
kind of what I think it's an expiration date.
Yeah. So,
I don't know. I'm a little bit leery on it. Again, I'm old school, right? Like, I'm the same way as you, Josh. Like, I got my whole...
You got toys on your desk right now.
I have so many toys and all of my cases with all my old school games are sitting right in front of me.
Yeah.
And I just sit here and daydream at it half the time. And it's like, I like to be able to do that, right? It's different when you look through a file. With your digital hoarding is different than tangible hoarding. It just is.
Yeah, for sure. I do want to just real quick, and then Eric, I know you've got something to say here. I was camping. I mean, we were in the woods, did not have Wi-Fi this whole last week. We lived on our hotspots, right? And I was so impressed. Fortnite ran perfectly on my hotspot, like no problem. And then Monster Hunter on my DS, even after I got throttled, I ran through all 15 gigs on my hotspot and then it throttled down to 600 KB. I played multiplayer games, no problem like that. So, you know, that's not an option for everybody, obviously, but like it is getting more, and it's like we're getting closer and closer to that being. My son played Fortnite on his PS4 all week off of his hotspot all week. So it's nice. Crazy that it's there. So, Eric, you've been quiet. I'm sorry. I didn't mute you.
No, it's okay. He didn't want to. I'm not a guest, so, you know, I want to make sure everyone has an opportunity. I'm kind of in the weird minority, so I'm all digital Xbox. And when the Xbox One X came out, I saw the flaw in an all digital future.
Yes.
Forza 7's over 100 gigs with the 4K textures. Mm-hmm. When I re-downloaded all of my 4K enhanced games, I hit my data cap. The first time I've ever hit my data cap. Now, luckily, Comcast gives you 2 free go over your data cap. They don't throttle you. So that was only 1 month in a calendar year. But if we move to an all digital future with the games getting bigger and more consoles going all digital, I see that being a problem because the internet in America just isn't where it should be for 2018.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, the other thing, if you bought Forza, let's say, and you wanted to play it and you lived in somewhere with DSL, it's never going to happen. You'll play that game in 6 to 8 weeks. Whereas
when it's finally downloaded.
Right. Yeah, well, exactly.
And the other thing, the other factor here, like with Xbox, they mentioned it from the beginning of the Xbox One was like, oh, cloud-based gaming and having that. And we're seeing it on the Switch in Japan with Resident Evil being a fully streamed game. The Switch is just basically the controller at that point. But that takes infrastructure. That's going to take more than a hotspot. That's going to take some bandwidth. And
when I have a couple buddies of mine that I play games with all the time on PlayStation, and just the update files for their games, like the game is not a digital version. It's a tangible disc they put in there, but just the update file for that game is like 60 or 70 gigs. Like, it's insane. By the time it's, because it keeps getting updated, right? And every time it's another 8 gigs or it's another 20 gig. It's insane how much they're dedicating to just in update files. Even I totally agree, that's something that needs to be addressed. Like, if the next systems don't come out with like 5 terabytes or something, it's just going to be absurd. Gigs are out the window, man.
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Even 5 terabytes isn't enough, because we're going to have to start getting into petabytes, which I know sounds ridiculous, but I have a 2 terabyte external on my Xbox One that is already full. I've had to start deleting stuff, which I thought when I got that 2 terabyte, it's like, this will last the entire console generation.
No.
Yeah.
Do you really play every single game?
No, but what if I have guests over and they're like, hey, let's play Turok. I don't know. I just made up. Let's play an old game that you've uninstalled. Yeah, okay, let me re-download it. It'll 60 gigs. It'll be done in a couple hours.
He'd have to wait more than that minute and a half for his PlayStation to load up.
That's what I'm saying.
Dude, the PlayStation download is so slow.
I do want to point out from the chat here, Run Jump Stomp from the Switchcraft podcast says, it doesn't matter how much we kick and scream, digital only is going to happen. It's too enticing for developers if you can't trade in your game. And it's not only that, there's more cost involved when you have the printing and the plastics and everything.
That's what I'm saying. Like, why are those cheaper then? Like, that's the part I don't get. When you can buy a tangible copy cheaper than digital, that switches, then I might go digital.
I have something to say on that then.
Yeah.
So the reason why it's not cheaper is because games should be costing us more. But us as gamers have always just been comfortable with 60, for a game. And, they haven't really been able to push the envelope and say, okay, you should pay 75 or 80 for this game. Now what they're doing is they're cutting the cost, and they can still have us pay 60, and it helps their bottom line, because making games is just so expensive nowadays. We should be paying like close to 90 for a game.
And I think, like, to be honest with you, we buy a $60 game and then we get at least a $20 to $30 season pass, right?
Yeah.
My favorite is when it's season one pass.
Yeah.
And you got another $30 for season two, right? Like, the games season are costing us that much. Yeah, totally. They found a way around that.
The other thing they're doing to combat the trade-ins is like Bayonetta. If you bought a trade-in copy of Bayonetta, you're only getting Bayonetta 2. You're not getting the first or whichever
that's the case. Bayonetta 2's on the cart.
Yeah. So, the Mega Man, there's a ton of them that are starting to learn. We can throw in some item. I forget what did it on the Xbox a while ago, but you couldn't get multiplayer unless you had the digital code, which made trading in that game completely worthless.
Oh, that was back on the 360. They would do that kind of stuff. Like, I think with the EA did it with the Madden games. If you punched in the code for online, then you couldn't. You had to pay for the online after the fact. But back to the point, though, it boils down to if games go completely digital, I don't know exactly where the price will go. I think we're going to see more and more games as a service. Games like Fortnite, people are throwing money at that game. And they're not getting anything tangible, nothing. It's all digital. And it's like, and their business model is perfection to the T. You've got 48 hours to buy this skin for $20, or it goes away and it may not come back. Mom, I can't miss that one. Let me have your credit card.
You want to look cool with your friends.
Yeah, I don't want to be a no skin mom. And so, but right now, other than like Xbox took that step and said, we don't care what retail says. We're going to sell a pass that has all of our games, and they can still sell the games for 60 in their store, but how many people made the Switch? And there were retailers that said, we will no longer stock Xbox products.
Yeah. Yeah. I know Sea of Thieves, like it, the servers were so bogged down because so many people accessed that game and downloaded it, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know how they're getting paid for that, but like.
That's what I wonder too on the dev side is, are they getting like Spotify type royalties, like 10 cents per download, or I'm curious how they're getting paid, or Microsoft's probably paying Rare.
Microsoft's sitting on piles of cash, just like Nintendo is from Windows and everything else that they're like, let's just hope that we can, you know, pull off a Netflix thing here. But like from my last time I checked, Netflix is something like $20 billion in debt. You know, so like,
yeah, but that's like artificial because they're making tons of money. That's them investing in their movies and shows. And sure. So yeah. I don't know how much that matters if they stop making a couple.
Well, it's like it's debt that they owe themselves. Right. I think a lot of it. Right. Yeah, so sure, that's kind of weirdly superficial. I like that we've transcended our console war to now it's just we're all consumers with a common enemy, which is the publisher. The great equalizer. We just need a common enemy.
Yeah. We finally found it. We finally found it. So, well, hey, guys, this has been awesome. Thank you guys for taking time on your Tuesday night to come and hang out. I don't. Who won the war? Did anybody win the war? I guess. I mean,
gamers. I think we all win the war
because we get along now. Yeah, as consumers. I love it. We all get to sleep better tonight.
I want to point out that before the show started, Marcus was like, "I'm just checking, but am I the only non-Nintendo guy here? Like, am I getting thrown to the wolves?"
And I love Nintendo. Don't get me wrong. I don't want a bunch of.
No, all right.
While we sat here, my phone was going nuts, and it was a ton of people following me on Twitter. So, if any of them are listening to the show and have done that, huge thank you for doing that. I would love to banter with you on there. You can give me a hard time if you want. I would love to talk with you about it.
Awesome.
So, thank you, Josh, for doing that.
Oh, absolutely, dude. Absolutely. All right. Well, hey, let's put a bow on this thing. All right, Marcus, where can we follow you?
Please go to nerdbuzz.com and all of my links are there. All of my social media, nerdbuzzed.
Nerdbuzz.
Do it.
Look for it on iTunes. Look for it on Google Play, wherever you listen to podcasts.
YouTube.
Yep. They do a live show. They have an intern who they make fun of and stuff. It's a lot of fun.
This coming Monday, we're doing another, we're going to do a live show. We're going to have a guy from Everett who's has a meadery. So he's bringing mead that he made, and we are going to build the new Lego Voltron set live on the show together.
Nice.
And get super buzzed. So yeah, join us. You can give me a hard time if you want. I love it. Please do. It'll be awesome.
Cool. Wade, where can we find you, bud?
Yeah, man. You can find us mulehorngaming.com. Find us in listen to podcasts with Analog Assault and on Twitter at mulehorngaming. And you can tell me how wrong I am about Last of Us 2.
Very, very wrong.
I'm going to follow you and give you a hard time.
All right, Eric, how about you, buddy?
You will find me on Twitter at hate0, spelt X-E-R-O. You'll find me in Discord, n64josh.com/Discord, if you want to go there. We have a ton of great people. It's going out of control. Lots of games being played because of it. Lots of fun, spirited debates. And I started streaming, so follow me on Twitch and see me stream random things. There's no regularity to anything I do, so be prepared for that.
What was the last game you played that was just off the wall? Something like Bob the Builder or Construction something? Or
I played Suicide Guy on Nintendo Switch or Coffin Dodgers. Which one are you? And Suicide Guy is not what you think. So, well, kind of. So I'll give you guys the real quick premise. You are a dude who's falling asleep and he's dropping his beer. And the objective is he's in his dream state and he knows he's dropping the beer and he has to wake himself up before the beer falls. And the only way to do that is to kill himself over and over in the dream.
Wow. Okay. This has got like a nerd buzz theme to it. I like it.
It's a really terrible game, but it's fun. Fun no less.
So. All right, guys. Well, hey, you can follow me on Twitter at N64Josh. You can follow this show at NPowerCast. Guys, the show notes for this episode will be available at N64Josh.com/NPC115. You can email us NPC@N64Josh.com. Remember, pick up your free audiobook from Audible. Go to audibletrial.com/NPC. OPC, it's the chair I'm sitting in right now, and I love it. N64Josh.com/OPC is going to save you $10 at checkout. Hey, we do have a Patreon. If you want an extra podcast for just a dollar, you get yourself an extra podcast each month. There are other tiers available there as well. That's patreon.com/N64Josh. Like Eric said, join the Discord. Come hang out with us. Come and talk to us. N64Josh.com/Discord. We're having a good time in there. We're playing Fortnite together. We're playing Paladins together. We're playing Rocket League and Mario Tennis and Mario Kart and Splatoon and everything else. It is a great time. Great time. Come and hang out. And lastly, if you have a second, you can rate and review this show on iTunes. We greatly appreciate it. We need to power up to 5 stars, and we can only do that with your help. So if you enjoyed the show, we have some 1-star reviews. People just don't like us. Hey, that's fine. We get it. But if you're enjoying the show, help us out. We really appreciate it. Give us that 5-star rating. And thank you guys for being here live on Twitch. I see Rust, I Knit You Twitch, Benji, Pudding, everybody else. Thanks, guys. We'll see you later.
Later, Famine.